On our Hawaii Garden and Forest segment, we continue exploring a California public garden with Hawaii maritime ties. The Matson name has dominated shipping in the Pacific. You see the name emblazoned on shipping containers across the state. But the Matson twin granddaughters, Lurleen and Brennis, came out in society in the Bay Area and were launched like luxury liners, according to the newspapers at the time. Curator Julie Blythe DeVere recounts the Hawaii history and the impact of World War II. The Matson family did not escape the impact of the internment camps and the Chinese Exclusion Act. The Filoli Estate and Public Gardens were started first by William Bourne and then William and Lurleen Matson Roth.
Both families had maritime connections, but of course, the Roth family had the Matson Hawaii connection most. So her father, Captain William Matson, had really started a lot of transportation back and forth between Hilo and San Francisco. And he started that in 1882 with the Emma Claudina. It was a little schooner that he started taking back and forth when it was still the Kingdom of Hawaii. He was working in bringing supplies from the mainland and then bringing back things like coconut and native woods. He was trying to make a go of railroad ties out of them here and filling his hold back up. He was also bringing back a lot of sugar and sandalwood and doing that back and forth. And then he just kind of kept increasing the size of his ships. It became a 400-ton brigantine next, the first Lurleen. But he started going back and forth. And over time, especially after the annex of the kingdom, sugar production was doubling and he was bringing more sugar back and forth to the mainland. And then he got really involved in Honolulu Oil, Consolidated Oil Company. He was very involved in Honolulu Plantation and about a half dozen other island kind of trade and merchants. And so he had a lot of different kind of fingers into the merchant area there, back and forth. And so their family kind of continued to grow and expand over time. So he was the first one to have an electrified ship with cold storage, taking things back and forth to Hilo. And then he was the first to have steam, and then he was really involved with the oil line going back and forth, especially one that was bringing the oil fields of California all the way to the Pacific coast. There was a 118-mile long pipeline that he helped put in. And so as that trade grew, Matson seemed to always be there. And after Lurleen's father, her husband, who was born in Honolulu, William Roth himself was born when it was still the Kingdom of Hawaii. And he came out to the mainland, to Oakland, and then later to Stanford University for his education. But then he went back to Hawaii and worked as a bank teller and then a sugar broker, and then meets and falls in love with Lurleen when she's visiting the islands with her family. And she went back and forth almost every year, you know, with her father and her mother. And he ends up kind of working for Matson. And under his leadership, especially in the 20s into the 40s, that's when you have the White Line cruise ship going in and really developing Waikiki. He then thought, well, I have this beautiful cruise ship and it's ending in Waikiki, which he remembers when you saw 10 people on the beach, you know, and he said, well, all of these tourists now have nowhere that they can stay on the island. And so that was when he developed the hotels, the Royal Hawaiian, the Surf Rider, the Princess Kalani, like all of those were under his leadership. And then they really move into containerization and shipping. And so maritime trade, and especially a connection to the islands, has always been important to them and continues, I think, to be a part of their history. We just recently had one of Lurleen Roth's grandchildren here visiting, and Artie, you know, Arthur Grant, he plays the ukulele beautifully, and he sings love songs on it that he learned from his grandparents, you know, and so there was even that cultural kind of tradition, and they still kind of greet family during important events with flower lei, and a lot of that has carried through and still important to them, you can tell.
I was reading somewhere on one of the oral histories that was published that Lurline used to gather the flowers in the morning and then bring them back for the arrangements in the house, mm-hmm. and that they would also display them in the calabashes downstairs.
She had an amazing collection of calabash, and we're really lucky that she left those to us and that they remain here in our collection. And we, of course, kind of treasure them. And they go into storage for a little bit to have time to rest and then come back out. And so they're still here. I love that at a time when she kind of needed a little bit of self-care and love, Lurline went back to Hawaii. She built her own estate right next to the Mauna Kea Resort. She built that beautiful 6-acre estate. And that after she lost her husband as a recent widow, that was really where she kind of needed a little bit of time for herself. I love those pictures of her, you know, when she's visiting the island, especially in her later years. She was in her 80s. She developed this beautiful home. She worked with, you know, an architect locally. It was 10 steps to the water's edge. Big, expansive walls, views to really kind of soak in the island, right there next to like Lawrence Rockefeller's beautiful estate that he had built, right? That she wanted to be there, and that place that had been so important to her throughout her childhood was a place where she could kind of have a little bit of a balm for the soul.
When I was here last, you had the mats and menus up on display. I don't know if that's part of a permanent thing or if you rotate things in and out.
Yeah, for many years we used to have them up in the kitchen. Right now they're in the visitor center in a display case. We have two in there in the gallery, and one is the Bourne family history and the other is the Roth family history. And it's just kind of soaked into the view that you take in, that it's immediately the Pacific was important, the tropical, floral. There isn't a family picture during parties that you don't see tropical flowers that were specifically brought to the mainland for events happening here. Even if it was giant displays of beautiful orchids and things being brought in specifically for like the twins' debut party, you just kind of instantly see that Pacific Island connection was so important for the family. And again, even in those family photos, you often see Lurline and Bill wearing flower lei surrounded by their children here in California. So it's still important.
I saw one of the pictures in the showcase has a horse draped in lei, mm-hmm. because they used to raise horses here on the property.
Yeah, Mrs. Roth is perhaps most well known here locally for her incredible horse breeding facility that she had here for many years. Their other estate was the Waiwuri Farm, which was also here in Woodside. And it's said that when she moved to Failoli, she brought just the brood mares with her. So maybe only 50, but she had, she competed almost every year except for during the war years when she was running the Red Cross. She was president of the local chapter, and her horses won every accolade and every award that they could nationally, internationally. And she was often out there in the ring herself. Horses have continued to be really important. And so when you visit the property here, you see the green fences all over the property that were all their different paddocks. But yeah, they would do these big, beautiful flower lays that would go up over, you know, their neck. And then she would always present them with a vanilla ice cream cone out in the middle of the ring. She would feed them one. And you can see they're all perked up and so excited that they're going to get a treat because they know that they did well.
That's a great story. Anything else you can share? I know Kara had mentioned that they had, I think she had a Japanese butler, I mm-hmm. think. And one of the stories that I read was, I think it was Lurline, I think had to drive him down to one of the internment camps in the city during the war. That was kind of a sensitive issue.
Yeah, that's what's amazing about telling these new stories in the house is it does allow us the opportunity to tell a lot of new stories in the house. And one of them is about Tachiki Taga. And the family, as is the case, you always call your butler by their last name. So whether it was Sidney Woods, and he was Woods during the Bourne era, or Taga during the Roth era, he was one of the butlers here. And he had worked for over 25 years at the time of Japanese internment starting here on the mainland. And it was heartbreaking, you know, and it's so hard. And She remembers having to take him and his wife and their American-born daughter. She was, you know, born and raised here in San Francisco on the peninsula, and going into internment, and then the family went and picked them up at the end, and they continued to work for the family until their retirement years. We also, with our Chinese cook, we have the Chinese Exclusion Act, which is so another difficult part of California history here. We have a lecture series coming up later this summer that's connected to NEST. We're bringing in other local historians who specialize in internment in the Chinese Exclusion Act so that I can borrow their expertise and make sure that we're really giving the context as to what those difficult periods of history here in California were and how they intimately affected the people that called Failoli home. You know, we have stories from some of our other staff that talk about, you know, what it was like to be here in this area, in parts of San Francisco, in the 20s, in the 30s, how difficult that could be for them at the time. And so Failoli has always been this diverse group of people, but that didn't make it always easy for everybody, especially outside of the acreage here. So just getting a chance to tell those new stories, whether they're good stories, ones that give us joy, or ones that remind us why we never need to recreate or relive those moments, learn from our past.
Julie Black-DeVere said she has memories of sitting down with the Mattson twins, who died a few years ago at ages 96 and 97. The curator says she believes the Failoli Gardens and historic home still holds many Hawaii stories to share in its future. The twins' mother, Lurleen Mattson Roth, died in 1985, one day after her 95th birthday. And it was back in 1975 that she donated the Failoli Estate to the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And here's a fun fact for you. If you remember the television series Dynasty, well, the exterior of Failoli was used as the Carrington Mansion.